All right, guys, welcome to the first Tuesday Coffee Chat with John Willis from Special Operations Equipment, Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast. I'm Nicole Soss from Living Free in Tennessee. You guys ready for Christmas?
Yeah, a little bit.
Didn't Christmas already pass? Didn't we just do Christmas?
No. That was Black Friday, John. I know. You just said you're buried in orders.
We are, yeah. We'll run another till Friday.
If you run a business, Black Friday is kind of Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We got buddies that make all their money on Black Friday. Like, literally 95% of their incoming revenue is Black Friday.
Yeah.
30% of my annual revenue at Hollow Roast is between now and Christmas.
Yeah.
I was going to say Cyber Monday, Black Friday, the whole thing.
That's why I spent $1.25 on this candy cane, just to celebrate.
You know, even doing memberships, like, I just looked at my incoming revenue for the next week from recurrent revenue. From renewals, and it's like always 3x what my average is.
Yeah, which is good. That helps all of us. So guys, keep spending money. Also, it's Giving Tuesday, so today's you're supposed to do a charitable contribution today. So shout out to Grindstone Ministries on that one. They've got a campaign going, and I know my people have supported their work a lot. So just reminding y'all they exist. GrindstoneMinistries.com. Okay. So I haven't talked to you guys in a month, and the thing I want to talk about first is, John, are you going to redesign your micro rigs so that the red shells don't show through?
I don't even know what he was talking. There was a lot in there. He had a lot of advice right there.
Yeah.
And of course, when you click on any of his stuff, there's no evidence of him having done any of the things he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, he got one of those comments where it's like, you should redesign this completely to meet my demands.
He's like,
and it
the
was
red,
a lot.
You can see the red on the shotgun shells, and that'll get you killed. He's obviously never seen, you know, green shotgun shells or any of the other shotgun shells.
Yeah. I mean, his body heat signature will get him killed faster, right?
That's a real thing now. That is, like, if you watch any of that stuff coming out of Ukraine, man, it's insane. And the stuff that they're actually allowing on social media is, like, I think everything should be allowed on social media. If you don't want to see it any longer, you push a button and it just removes, you know? But it's wild, the stuff that they are letting out there on social media.
You know what they've done with the drones, man? It's kind of crazy. You wouldn't think it'd work, but it is. They've gone to fly-by-wire.
Yeah, so we actually looked that up. They're putting like 14 miles.
Yes.
In a little, like the size of my thread. So yeah. I don't know how big the fiber optic wire is. We have about 3.5 to 4 miles on a 1 pound cone of thread.
Yeah.
Those fiber optic cones are a little bit bigger, and they're getting 14 miles. We just talked about that on the podcast last week.
So I'm not surprised that you can transmit through that, because the core of a single mode fiber is only 9 microns. Whatever's coating it, though, to keep it from breaking in that deployment is what makes me like, I don't understand, right?
Yeah, like, man, there's guys walking around and it just looks like just piles, like inches deep of spider web from all of that. They said that they're actually, for every one person that they're killing with a drone, they're utilizing 7 drones simultaneously. They'll have a big one for overhead view, and then they'll have the attack drones, and they'll have seven guys controlling that. They're actually losing and utilizing 7 for every one kill.
There's the reason they're doing, for those listening, if you're not familiar with this, what they're doing with the fly-by-wire is it prevents jamming.
Yep.
Because as soon as they started using remote controlled drones, well, everybody brings out the jammers, and then the drone's lost and it just goes off and crashes into a tree or whatever. But when you're got a direct wired connection, you know, that just seems like, though, like once you identify where the drone is, some sort of cutter drone. So it's going to be, is that what it's going to be? It's going to be like kite fighting, right? With drones with munitions on them, right? Like, because it's way easier to just know, like, okay, if this drone's going that way, that wire's over here. All I got to do is fly past it other than try to shoot it down.
I don't think they're getting the fiber optic from washing machines. A washing machine wouldn't have fiber optic. You might be thinking of something else in there.
That sounds like the bullshit propaganda from 3 years ago at the beginning of the war, when they said Putin was running out of bullets and they were repairing tanks with parts from washing machines. That sounds like the genesis of that.
Maybe.
That didn't work out, did it?
This is my favorite comment from Ed. Imagine if shotgun shells had shiny brass, we'd all be dead.
So we make a rig that we make a rig. It's been out there maybe close to 20 years right now, and it's just elastic loops, and it has shotgun shells, and there's six. So as you use the six, you rip this tray down. One pulls up, falls right into position, and there's two of those. So you have 24 rounds on the minimum, the smallest one that we do. And he says that you see the red will get you killed. And he recommended that we make a full tube and we put them indexed vertical instead of horizontal, and that you have, I guess he wants us to put eight or four or six on the face and change the orientation and fully contain the shotgun shell. For people that aren't aware, you can buy shotgun shells in tons of different colors. You can get them all kinds of different colors. You could also... There's plenty of guys out there. Prior to us building that, we made a rig that basically did the same thing but had colors on it. There's plenty of guys making those. Like, no matter what it is you want, as stupid as somebody thinks it is, somebody makes that. And if when you go to a company and you're like, hey, you should make this thing, nobody makes it. That's a clue. That's generally because nobody wants it or it doesn't sell.
Yeah. But do you guys get the Gecko 33 reference? Does anybody?
I do not.
I'm surprised you don't, given the business you're in. This goes back to the early days of the internet and one of the like tactical forums and shit. And there was a dude that showed up whose handle was Gecko 33.
Is this the All Your Bases Belong to Us guy?
No. This was the guy that was a mall cop.
Oh, shit. Okay.
At one of the biggest malls in America. And he goes on and on about it. He starts off, he wanted some tactical advice on some bullshit. And everybody starts, like, just dogpiling on the guy. And he starts running off at the mouth about all the terrorist things that they stop and shit. And you're, like, reading this, and you're, like, you realize after, like, the fourth entry, like, this dude's serious? And then some dude comes out of, like, left field and starts defending him. Who's, like, you know, I also work for one of the people that have no idea. And the guy just baits him. The guy that comes in baits this dude all the way through to, like, it's completely ridiculous. And then he starts at the very end. He tells the story of the terrorist that came into his mall. And what it comes down to is this is how old it is. They were trying to steal the Dance Dance Revolution machine out of the arcade.
Isn't this what Paul Blart was based off of?
Yeah, this is kind of in that timeline, right? But then Gecko just goes away and he was never seen from again. And then there was a myth, like an internet myth for years. If you said his name too many times on like a forum, he would show up again. So when people like said it twice, he'd be like, don't do it again. And like this was like early 2000s, late 90s, when forums were really, before, you know, social media took over everything and forums were a big deal. Yeah, Gecko 33. I bet you could still find it.
Yeah, Mall Ninjas.
Yeah.
I think it used to be a coupon code, Gecko 33.
Used to be the insult, Mall Ninjas.
He was a mall ninja, but he was dead serious. The dude that came in played him beautifully, and then at the end he goes through this elaborate... It's like you're reading a mini short story novel or some shit when he goes through this whole thing and, you know, they popped up and we knocked them down. And luckily it was at night. But then the horror came in. We saw three of them. They were trying to steal the DDR machine. My kid's in his 30s. Him and his friends played Dance Dance Revolution when they were in middle school. That's how old that shit is.
Somebody asked what we think about I was just going to read that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do we think of the Pigeon Forge, Seymour area? Wife and I are looking at property to live. It's beautiful out there. Absolutely beautiful. It's also expensive because of that area right there. Super, super touristy. Love going there. Would love to live there. I would probably hate living there.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Pigeon Forge itself. The area is beautiful, but like the town itself, like I like Gatlinburg a lot better than Pigeon Forge. Pigeon Forge is very...
Which they touch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you get up into the hills, it's really nice. I think there's some stuff for sale for pretty cheap out there because of the flooding that happened last year.
It's incredible. There's a lady right there that has gotten eminent domained that has really got a ton of traction internationally now. They've come in and like shut her farm down and stuff. And it was pretty dirty what they did, but that's still ongoing right now.
Hmm.
Okay, Second Light Farm, do I know you? Because you're near me if you're in Crossville.
He's a cool dude. He's on my streams all the time.
Okay. He should be connected with me if he's that close to me.
He should. If he's, yeah, dude, if you're there, connect with her and her folks.
Yeah.
He's a real success story. I've got a document from him and I just got a follow up on it today. This dude, like a while ago, was homeless and he lived homeless for a long time. And he is, he's built up like a huge success in his life, got his life back together, has a farm. Like,
nice.
I'm actually going through the stuff he sent me. I'm going to be doing a show on it. I asked him to do an interview and he was not really comfortable with that, but he was kind enough to write up his whole story. And it's so deep and so long that I thought he'd send me like a couple paragraphs and I'd read it on like a segment show. And I'm like, no, this warrants a whole show because it's a really amazing story.
Oh, well, looking forward to that one.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm like an hour from you and we do meetups and you should come out. That's all I'm saying. Second Light Farm. I get out to Crossville from time to time because, yeah, it's kind of near. I mean, I go to John's and that's a 3-hour drive. So,
yeah, my video guy comes here twice a week from Crossville.
Yep. We found 24 acres in Boulevard, Tennessee. Teresa's moving to about 4 hours from me. Is that near you, John? Where's Boulevard?
So Bolivar's closer to Memphis. That's where the old asylum is. It's also where Chris Watkins lives.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Chris Watkins, a cool dude.
Chris is out there. Good dudes out there.
Yeah, the thing I love about Tennessee at this point is that every time we mention a region, we know people in the area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've already started some conflict, I think. I mentioned that Dorothy and I are looking for a piece of property, a second property near you. And I've got like 4 different people trying to sell me on their part of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Not maliciously or anything, just like it's like, but we made a choice.
Yes.
And north of Memphis does not work in that choice. Like, that's 34 and north is almost on the West Virginia border.
Well, and having the specific characteristics you want, West Tennessee might not be the best fit.
Yeah.
Not impossible, but not the best fit.
Yeah. If we left here, we'd go east.
Yeah.
And where John's at is not bad either. Just, if you're talking Memphis, I'm not.
But when you talk like Smoky Mountains and you want those mountains and all that, like that's out east. That's east of here. Like it's beautiful here.
Yeah.
And we still get like the patchy fog over, it's pretty, but not like the mountains.
Yeah. But not at least like you get out to Memphis, you have plains.
Yeah. And you're close to all the other shit out there.
Yeah. You might die. And not from a natural disaster, from a human disaster. Like, if you think Memphis is bad, try West Memphis in Arkansas. That's an interesting place.
Ohio needs more people, Bob says.
Ohio needs more people. Good luck with that, bro.
Teresa Croft. Amanda and I went through the asylum. We were in there for 8 hours. I've got a 90-minute video inside the asylum that we've got up on the YouTube channel here.
What is the asylum?
It's a legitimate asylum. It was a Kirkbride asylum made in 1890 is when they stood it up. It was the big bat wing asylums.
And
it's pretty cool. Like it's all, there's 2 miles of tunnels out there still. Like everybody, there's a lot of disinformation. Huh?
The ones we need to reopen and start throwing.
These are too far gone. They're massive stone buildings. Asbestos lead paint. There is still a psych hospital there on the property.
That's fun.
Don't go to West Memphis. Yeah, Cody, my son, was in Memphis for a gun show this weekend. He said they had one of the main highways up there closed because there was a shooting that took place. And I go, yeah, but that's like a normal thing. You just happen to see it this time.
Yeah.
I used to stay in West Memphis on my way to Jack's, and then I realized that was a terrible idea. So I go, there's another place I will stop along there. But there's a stretch from Little Rock to Jackson. I get tired, but it's not necessarily the best place to stop.
Yeah, there's one decent hotel. That's where Dave and I found the 90s dive bar or the 80s dive bar. I can't remember the town, but it's about halfway between Memphis and Little Rock. And if you don't, and there's the one we stayed is not a good hotel, but across the street, there's a Holiday Inn that's fine. And that's like the only safe space in that route coming down from Memphis through Little Rock. And I've stayed there many times.
Yeah, but that's like the magic post-workshop sleepy area, in my opinion, if you get out in the morning. So,
yeah,
there's a reason I fly now, Jack.
I was going to say, like, fly is the way, man.
Yeah. So Pip and I says, has Tennessee had snow yet? John, have you gotten snow?
No, we thought we were going to get some ice. It didn't ice. It rained quite a bit last night. Everything is wet. It's they say it's 28, but I don't have any ice anywhere here, so I don't think it's 28.
We had, it looked like snow, but it was just frost today. We were legit 28 degrees, and everything was, except under the big trees, it was, you know, frost shadows. But it looked like light snow, but no, it wasn't snow.
There was a big to-do about us getting snow in Tennessee for the last whole week leading up to yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we got rumors of snow, for sure.
Rumors.
Rumors of snow.
Where I live, I would prefer that it just not happen. No, it's not that I hate snow. It's that I hate snow in a place that is completely and totally unprepared for snow. And I don't just mean driving. Like, the way things are built here, they're not built like they are in places where it gets cold regularly. So pipes are shallower. You know, the whole building construction world is different down here. There's no snow removal or ice removal equipment of any kind. Their idea of snow removal or prevention on the road here is they take like the chemical trucks and they use like spray herbicide and shit. They fill it with an ice retardant and they drive around and spray roads. That's
what
their
they do here.
That's all they do here. But that's it.
Yeah, like, that's here.
When we had a really bad ice storm one year, they got an idea that they would take one of their like big ass scrapers and use it to break ice off the highway. And it was like 11 degrees out and still misting ice, and the freaking scraper got fucking frozen stuck to the road.
We had a memorable one here where it was frozen for a week, basically.
Yeah.
And I have a microclimate in the collar, so we were warmer than up on the ridge.
Yeah, sure.
And the snowplow went off the road and got stuck in the ditch.
Mm.
So they were stuck there for a day or two until another snowplow could be sent out to pull the snowplow out of the ditch on the highway.
Your road?
No, the highway above. Yeah,
I was just thinking, I would be surprised if it didn't end up in the ditch.
Yeah, no, we don't.
A plow truck can't get down Nicole's road.
No,
I don't think they plow Nicole's road. I don't think
they do. Skid steer from a neighbor is the best we're going to get.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. There's places in like in Montana and Wyoming and all. And it's like God made the snow and he'll take it away.
Yep.
And you can tell where that's the case because the places where it's not the case, all the cars have the cancer, you know, rot on them.
Rotted out from the salt.
Shit. And if it's not a Southern car and it has no rot on it, it's from some place that they don't do that.
So now you know.
Beard supremacy movement. Nah, this is a temporary thing for whoever that is. Us radio, that's Evan, right?
It's Evan.
So, Evan, if you don't know, this is a experiment we did this year to see what this jack looked like as Santa Claus. I even got my my Spearco Claus cap for wearing out and about. But on January 1, this is going away. When I come back after our Christmas, New Year's break, I will be back to the normal guy. But it's been kind of cool. I just have these places where sometimes it doesn't agree. Promotion for beard, Kentucky Rebel Scum beard, salve or ointment or whatever the hell you call it. Beard balm. It's great. That's the guy. That's Travis who makes the, Kentucky Rebel Scum hot sauces as well.
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
I need to send him coffee to put in his store, which I have not done.
Yeah. I need to reach out to him about MSB.
Yeah. Yeah. That stuff's delicious.
Yeah,
I serve it at every event. Like, he sent me a whole kit, and then I just put it out. I need, like, little cards that tell people what it is.
He was, in the beginning when I reached out to him, he was like, yeah, I'll send you some and talk about it. And then he kind of blew up right as he sent it out. And he's like, no, don't. Like, he was, like, so overwhelmed. And so I didn't ask him to do any kind of discount or anything. So I'm like, when you're selling everything you have as fast as you can, you don't need to do a discount. Well, he got a license where they can do, like, they can scale now. And so I think now he has enough product that he actually, you know, isn't selling everything he makes the second he makes it. Like, he was doing drops. It was kind of cool to watch him, like, grow that fast, where he would be like, we have 200 bottles of, you know, X and 200 bottles of Y and 200 bottles of Z, and they're all going to drop on this day. And, like, in 15 minutes, it was gone. And that was really cool to see him kind of grow that quick and build something. And somebody was just asking me, do I have a product?
Yeah, so curious, Jack, do you have a product or do you have a company?
Yes. and yes, and a few. I am best known as the host of the Survival Podcast. My main product there is actually a discount membership. That's what I was talking about with MSB. I also do some other things. I'm an author. I write books. I've got courses on AI. I've got courses on permaculture. So we have a whole bunch of stuff. But you can learn more at thesurvivalpodcast.com.
Is that Michael Jordan, the bee guy, Michael Jordan?
If so, good, man. Where you been?
Don't know.
I bet it is because he's repeating that statement. That's a very Wyoming statement. God put it, God will take it away. That's probably him.
Yep. Okay, what's the status of your snake hut, your snake mansion, John?
Oh, it's done. It's done. Yeah.
It's done?
Cage is in. Snakes are in. Almost all of the snakes. We've probably got like 30 that we still got to move in.
Do you have people helping you take care of them, or are you just doing it?
Nah, just me and Amanda.
Yeah. Are you going to get into frogs next?
I love frogs. Will I get into frogs? No, you can't walk away from frogs for a couple of days. It's like having a saltwater aquarium that's in a micro cube. Same with chameleons. I don't have chameleons either. I love looking at them. I love those dart frogs, what most people call poison arrow frogs. But no, probably not.
Did you know that they do not get toxic in captivity?
Because they don't eat the bugs that they need for the toxicity.
And I don't even think they're sure exactly which bugs or combination of bugs, but where they live native, it's something they're eating that creates the toxin that's emitted on their skin. I learned all this from our buddy David, right?
Yeah.
Like, he keeps those. And John's right. You don't have to be like there every day with them, but they can't go like 3 weeks without being fed. Where a snake, like, you can feed them once a month if you're feeding them big enough, and there's no labor to it. But you and Amanda are doing all those big voids and shit. That's a lot of snake shit to get rid of.
Yeah, Cody too. We run through it all and do it all in, you know, a couple of hours. We have everything handled. I do the rats. Twice a week I do the rats, and we're producing so many rats the urine load is high. So I kill off like 5 gallon buckets full of rats of different sizes.
Uh-huh.
And then we just go through and feed. And while the mouth is occupied, we spot clean the cage at the same time.
Oh, okay. So you're killing and cleaning. You're not killing, freezing, or you're killing and feeding.
No, we do freeze also. We produce more than we can feed right now. Yeah. We have a commercial freezer, and people come in the kitchen. They're like, what's that in there? Cause we have the glass front ones. Like they have at Dollar General. They're like, what is that? I'm like, I don't know. What do you think it is? And they're like, ew. I go, hey, you're in my kitchen. Like, use the other freezer.
We eat weird around here. Just deal with it.
It's
full. And then our buddy at Paragon, when you look at his freezers, and he's got probably 50 freezers, chest freezers and vertical uprights, and they're full of like baby pigs. He's got massive, you know, retics and berms and anacondas and stuff.
Do you ever throw like surplus rats to your dogs?
We do on the clean outs. Yeah, we do. Yeah. My dogs get a lot of rabbits. Anytime we have rabbits, which is all the time. We always have litters of rabbits. But my problem is we make so many rabbits, I let the rabbits get too big.
Mm.
And now we've got a big rabbit, and that's dog food. It's too big for the snakes. When you have big snakes like that, a lot of these dudes, they feed these snakes like every 3 months on the big ones. Yeah. They're big breeders and stuff.
Well, you've got some big enough to eat a pretty big rabbit.
So we gave that. I've got a 16-foot retic, and she ate a 12-pound rabbit. And 12 pounds was big. Like, it takes too long for her to eat it. Well, like, hurry up and get this so we can get you back in the cage. 10 pounds would be good. I'd ideally feed her like between 6 and 8.
So Evan has a good point here. I know lots of people are black-pilled on tech stuff these days, but I've never been more inspired. AI, Python scripting, 3D printing, laser, et cetera, are allowing me to do the work of an army.
Yeah, Amanda just bought two more. I think she's got six 3D printers right now. She just ordered two more big ones on the way. We've been looking at that X-Tools thing. I know it's super packaged and very limited probably to a lot of the stuff that Evan can do, but that company X-Tools has a turnkey out of the box laser, 3D printer, wood carver, metal CNC. It's all desktop stuff, but I mean they've got a laser welder out there. And it just works right out of the box.
That's what I needed for a 3D printer, Jack. How about you?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a Creately if anybody wants it.
I gave mine away to somebody who wanted to mess with it.
We were at dinner last night, 15 minutes from the house. Amanda's got an app on the phone. She's reloading these things and telling them what to print out. She's got four spool AMSs, so each printer will print four colors. It's amazing watching these things, the things they create. They can do chain link, and you don't have to snap it, break it, or anything. It just works right out of the off the bed.
Yeah. My thing with 3D printing, like, it makes sense to me because you guys can manufacture and sell, and you're set up for shipping. To me, I would only be doing it for myself. I bought the Creately a couple of years ago so my grandson would get into it, and it did not take. If you're not selling stuff, I mean, I don't know how many gadgets, unless you're printing guns, which a lot of people do, and I just, like, I have lots of guns, and if I want a gun, I just buy a gun. But if you're not doing one of those two things, I just don't know that it's really worth having. I don't need that much stuff off Thingiverse or whatever.
I think Amanda, it makes sense as, like, a neighborhood purchase in that case.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a community, you can all have access to the central office thing.
Yeah, and I think that's a really cool way to do it, because there's times when you need something, and the fact that even if it takes 18 hours to print it, but you don't have to go somewhere or order it and wait for it, that alone is probably worth having.
Yeah, Amanda's been making these really cool skull, like, helmet holder things, hat holders.
Yeah, you can. They're for night vision helmets. They're for helmets with night vision and ballast, 3D. Those are super cool. She's made all the tool holders and dividers and all of the stuff. She's got, we got OmniWall on the wall over here, and she wanted some Tiffany blue stuff. So she just printed up all that stuff that holds everything. It's wild how fast, and the grid wall and stuff that they make for that. But it's good. Like, we've been printing all of our 3D patches, our American flag patches in all of our colors and all of our logos and stuff. It's awesome.
I lost Nicole for a second.
But no, you didn't.
All right.
I had to sneeze.
Oh, okay.
Everybody didn't need to sneeze.
Then we would have saw you go.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah,
so, I mean, Kevin says he's using his to make jigs that would cost thousands for a designer. Yeah, and see, and that makes sense when you think about what Evan does.
Prototyping. Rapid, cheap prototyping is cool. Like, the only thing I printed two things that were really useful to me. One is a thing that holds a spoon when you're mixing your coffee. And it says coffee, so it looks cool. The other is I printed these two strips, and each holds four DeWalt batteries on my pegboard where all my tools are stored. That's it. Everything else, like, after, and then I started getting the, like, would not adhere to the board, and I got pissed off at it and just quit dealing with it. But my understanding is, since I bought that, some of these new ones are just take it out, print, like printing a computer printer.
Yeah, but Amanda's looks badass, actually.
Yeah, we had to run dehumidifiers. We just added a second dehumidifier yesterday. That's the biggest thing that seems to affect things, is the humidity in there.
See, and I don't care enough to do that. But like Nicole's saying, if you have a community where everybody's using it as they need it, and you're kind of in on it together, and you, since it's networked, you know, it can be in some central location, and then, like, as long as it's available, you can start a print from anywhere. That's kind of cool.
Well, and that was the justification for the freeze dryer originally.
Okay.
But I'm pretty much the one who uses the freeze dryer.
That's even better. Like, everybody goes in on it, and you're like, it's here, and then no one, it's just like you have it, but.
Yeah, I'm sure some hiker meals will be made again. It was broken for a year because I didn't have the desire to deal with the troubleshooting. But I finally did, and it was a stupid $5 part.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, everybody complains about Harvest Right and how awful they are. Their customer service was stellar. I paid because I was out of warranty. I paid for the service. Mm-hmm. But when we started troubleshooting and then my stepfather died, and I was like, you know, I got to focus on some other things. They're like, we'll just mark it as closed and we'll open it again whenever you're ready. I waited months and no problem. They opened it again, made it all the way through the end. Very clear instructions, always easy to schedule. So I don't know. I guess other people have had other experiences than me, but I've always had a really good experience with their customer service.
I haven't heard much bad about them. I've heard a lot of people tell me, you need to get one. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
I think you need to move near Nicole and use hers.
Yeah. I went out to Tim and Mary's and saw, like, how they, like, do all this climate control shit and all. I'm like, again, like, if I want something freeze dried, I'll just buy it.
I think that Bob still has three that do not work. He bought them, you know, during COVID. I think he's actually even been to Utah. I'm pretty sure he went there.
Really?
These things, yeah.
And yeah, they didn't get them working.
They had a bunch of shit, I think, happened during COVID where they had to scale, And I don't know where the parts were sourced or what the deal was, but there was a lot of them during that time that did not function correct.
Mm.
Mm. I know they have a shitload of them because I have an insider that works there, and he said they have a shitload of them that are like fixed and sitting on the shelves that they sell used, but you have to ask.
Yeah. And that's how Excalibur was too. They had like refurbishes.
Yeah.
Kevin, I don't know about Overland stuff. Just if you got something you want, just, you know, hit her up with it. We'll take a look at it. Josh, as far as the filament dryer, she's got all the filament dryers, but I think you got to understand Amanda has hundreds, like no bullshit, hundreds of spools of filament. They come on kilo, and she's starting to buy it by the pallet now. So that's going to be another problem also, because we can't put a pallet in that building. That pallet's going to have to come into the unclimate controlled garage. But I mean, it's not a problem until you open them, really. But I mean, the temperature differences and stuff.
Yeah.
When are you building your 3D printing building?
This wouldn't work for you, John, because you're scaling. But I was told, like, if you have filament that needs to be dried out, just throw it in your Excalibur at like 90 degrees and leave it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's too much of it. Like, she's running, like, when she's running machines right now, if there's six of them running, that's 24. Kilos, 24 spools of filament that's running through there. So the easiest answer was just to climate control the building, which has worked. And there's different levels. When you buy a $200 dehumidifier, that's way different than a $1,000 commercial dehumidifier. They're two different animals.
Yeah. So how much
who's got this one?
I don't fucking know.
From magnesium anode rod to an aluminum anode rod in my home water heater. I am on city water, replace mag with mag, but H2O is smelling. What's the purpose of changing to aluminum from a magnesium? Is it because of the smell? I don't know the answer to that.
Is it reacting with your water? Maybe treat your water first.
Yeah.
Would be easier.
Well, and the smell then should only affect the hot water side. I guess that sucks when you're taking a shower, but
yeah.
Like, it's not affecting the water. I am personally of the belief you should not be cooking with or drinking with water that comes out of the hot side of your shit. Nope. I just don't. I'm with you on that. That is not
because of the water heater?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And pipe.
Yeah. The heat and the continuous building up of scale and all of that shit, and like, I'm not saying like I think you're if you do it once you're gonna die or something. I just don't think that overall it's great for your intake. Like your water that you drink should come out of the cold side. It's just straight from the source. That's just how I feel.
Plumber Mickey is weighing in with reaction with pipes.
I don't know what that means.
Hot water heating the plastic, and most pipes are plastic now.
That's true. So you're either going through PVC or PEX on the outside of that hot water heater. That heated water is now moving through that plastic. And so you're not just eating water that came out of a pipe made out of plastic. You're drinking water that came out of hot water that went through plastic.
Yeah, when they went from copper to PVC, it was supposed to be pretty bad. But then when they went to the PEX, it's even worse. The microplastics out of the PEX, they say.
So here's my experience with that I really dislike it. I had an outdoor sink put in, and it kept clogging up. And it's just one piece of PEX that they tapped into the rest of my shit with, and they chamfered it off and all. And so I took the nozzle off the end. Like, it's one of those things where you can pull it out and use it like a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And I unscrewed it, and I looked inside it, and there was blue freaking plastic that you could visibly see inside there. So I hosed it all out, put it back in, and it worked. And, like, the next day, I was out doing some in the sink again, and it's fucking clogged up again. And I cleaned it out and found blue plastic, which is the color of the PEX, inside the freaking thing, like, 8 times before I finally got pissed, and I just yanked the little filter out of it.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. It comes out now.
And if it's continuing,
it just started fucking pulling.
So you think that because it's continued so many times, it's not just residual leftover from the install. It's actually like erosion somewhere. Or something. Yeah.
Maybe some of the other joining in other parts of the PEX plant coming to it, but like it never does that inside the house. Like I've never had it clogged up, and when I've, you know, taken it apart and looked at it, I've never found plastic in there. But the extension that they added, it's just bleeding. And I'm sure that like it wouldn't now. It's been 8 years. But I mean, it was a persistent problem. So that makes you wonder how much is going in that water that you cannot see.
Yeah. You can send that out and have it tested too.
Yeah.
Like you can randomly send, you can get a water test kit on Amazon. Most of the colleges will do it too. Jesse, she's running, PETG and PLA. There's two others also. I don't know if you, we do a live every night at 9. If you jump on, she can answer all your questions. And then, she just ordered two more. I think they're P2Ss, the larger ones. Everything she has cabinets. They're all computer controlled. They have onboard cameras.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to use the opportunity of the plastic fear to bring up the Holleros Classic 10, which it's not coated on the inside. So a lot of cans are coated on the inside. So if you're worried about getting microplastics in your coffee, you can now ship it from Holleros in this tin for free through the end of the year. It's going to be a dollar upgrade after the beginning of the year. That's at holleros.com. It is great this way. You can get whole bean. It's roasted to order, put in here. And the only plastic you got is the lid, which you don't have to use. In fact, if you put in your comments you don't want the lid, that's fine. You can get this can. You pop the top when you get it, and then you can pour it into your mason jar for storage. But they also look really cool, if I do say so.
I agree. And the one that you gave me is now my ground coffee holder. So when I dump your coffee into my grinder and I grind more than I need for that batch, I take the thing and dump it in the can, and then the can sits there, and that's my reserve for the next day. I learned from power outages. I always grind enough coffee for the first batch for the next day. So I don't have to, like, if the power goes off at night, I can still have my fucking coffee in the morning without going out and getting the generator, because then I'll just use a French press or an AeroPress or something.
Yeah. Yeah, we designed them so you can, when you use them later to organize your bolts, you can just write it in here.
I love that, too. I think that's really cool. I think it's worth buying that just for the cans.
Yeah.
Look at it like you're buying the cans for like 10 bucks a container, and then the coffee's cheap.
Exactly. They've been flying off. They've been flying. So we're going to be at a Dickens Christmas festival in 2 weeks. No, in 1 week. 1.5 weeks. And what we did was we put a Christmas branded sticker here for that festival, and I'll probably put a bow on top, but yeah.
You need a sign that says, "Please, sir, may I have some more coffee?"
We have, "Please, sir, may I have some more espresso bites" in that festival.
Yeah. Yeah. "Please, sir, may I have another espresso bite?"
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for supporting my shameless plug. If you are an MSB member, you do get a discount on that. Holleros.com. You can pair it up. Probably coffee for the year would pay for your MSB, just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
From all the coffee vendors in there, as a matter of fact.
Come on here, hit them 2036, as we were expecting 50 cans this week. Excited to hand them out to our customers.
Yay.
Who's hit them? I recognize the handle, but I can't think of who that is.
Well, is that Brent?
Might be.
I didn't know what his, those cans were shipped. Wonder where they're at. I'm actually surprised they're not there yet.
They're somewhere in the ether.
They're somewhere.
Well, it's Black Friday right now. Like, everything's...
I know. Well, because Evan's got some coffee headed his way, too, but I did not email him the shipping.
We've got Amazon coming in here 3 times a day. Like, we had on Sunday, FedEx and Amazon both delivered. And then the other day, we had a delivery at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock. 3 separate trucks coming to the exact same location from Amazon.
That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. See, I'm now like, where is it? Well, you know what? It's in the state where it's arriving. But, yeah. Apparently hasn't been delivered yet. So. It's out for delivery today. So if something does arrive today, it's arriving today. Yeah, it was really cool to launch the cans. And then I got a corporate order. We did a customized corporate logo here for him for a thing, gift for his customers. I'm appreciative of it because it has my brand on there too. So maybe some of them will buy some Holleros next year. So what kind of coffee grinder do you all recommend? Jack, you have a recommendation you like.
I do have
mine's expensive.
Right.
That was good.
Yeah. I learned about that from you. So I'm a Vivor rep. So if you guys want to buy it and give me a dollar or so, go by my site first and just search for, Grindr, the survivalpodcast.com, or go to tspaz.com. But this one, if you look at the post, I think I said it was like on sale for $60, $62.99. It's not. Last time I ran that as an item of the day, it was in June. But I like it. I've been using it for over a year, and I have not had any problems with it. The only thing I'll say about it, I think a lot of them do this, though, the burr grinders, is you fill the hopper, and sometimes while it's grinding, you'll hear it rev up, and the beans kind of bind, and they don't want, and you kind of have to stick your hand in there, and you're not going to have your fingers ripped off or anything. You just kind of stir them.
Just don't stick them all the way into the thing.
Yeah, what happens is right where they enter the burr portion of the grinder, they kind of, if some turn sideways, they'll kind of stop feeding. Because I know even your like super expensive all-in-one integrated space machine sometimes does that.
It's because you drink dark roast.
Oh.
They're stickier.
Is that real?
Yeah, that's real.
Because they're roasted longer? Is that why?
Yeah, so some of the oils come out more, and it makes them a little stickier so they can bind up. And then in the burr grinder, if you think about how it works, it's just easier to, it doesn't have a whirring blade, basically.
When I open the coffee, I want to look in and I want to see that shiny shellac coating from those oils. That's the kind of roast I prefer. Not all, but most of the time. And you're right. Then that does make sense that they would stick a little more. They kind of stick together is what it is.
So what I like about that burr grinder is that you can pull it all apart and really clean the internals fairly easily. I did a video, though, on how to get it back together, because if you don't get it right, then it stops working and you think you broke your grinder. You didn't. You just don't have the cogs seated correctly on that. So, yeah, that was my only flaw I found with that one, really.
Yeah, I have no problems with it other than that bind up. And, yeah, I took it apart to clean it once, and I don't think it was necessary.
I wonder where mine is. Maybe it's at Mom's house.
You might have gave it away because you have like a super badass one.
I know. I just use a commercial grinder. That's the funny part is people say, what grinder would you use? And the answer is, I have a commercial grinder.
Why would I buy it? I had
coffee with somebody at the B&B who was traveling through town, and I went straight out to the commercial grinder and brought it down.
Yeah. I get the same question with podcast editing, and I'm like, you don't want to know what I use. I use Sony Vegas because I was in a video editing before I started. And it's like, now it's like a $1,400 software suite if you buy it new. I'm like, you don't need that. And like, well, why do you use it? Because I have it. Because I have it. I've been using it for 17 years, and I can literally, like right now, I could be editing in Vegas like this while talking to you. And I don't want to learn a new platform. And when they stopped renewing mine and they said it's not supported anymore, somebody, I won't say who, got me a cracked copy of the latest edition. So it is what it is. And
I use GarageBand, which is affordable and easy to use. And anything you can't figure out how to do, you can go onto YouTube and type in the thing you want to do and watch a video that's too long to explain what you want to do because they have to talk about other things before they talk about the thing. But, yeah. But I've been using GarageBand. Same thing. It works like Final Cut. It's what's the other one for audio only? The Adobe one. I don't remember. I used to use the Adobe one before I got into GarageBand, but that one's thousands of dollars too last time I looked. So
you can do it all with Audacity. It's just a little clunky and it's free. I use Audacity still as a recording tool when I do audio, like when I do my my expert panel shows where it's not video and I'm just doing audio. I use Audacity to record all my parts of that while I mix in all y'all's stuff from expert panel. And it works great for that. It's just to me, editing, like if you want to just trim something, it's great. But when you start adding layers and shit, it's just clunky.
Yeah. John, what editing software do you use?
I don't edit anything.
Right. he's doing it the smart way.
Yeah.
Like I mean, we do. I have all the stuff. I've got a $5,000 camera in front of me. I got a $6,000 camera over here. I've got a couple $2,000 cameras. If you see content I shot, I just shoot it on this. Brandle, anything where we're moving is shot on a DJI Osmo, a little teeny, I mean, tiny, tiny camera. And we have all the stuff. He uses, what's the Apple program? That's what Final Cut? Yeah, that's what we cut everything
he
in Final
uses
Cut.
Final Cut.
And I've got the big Adobe. I've got the massive, I have a computer that's just an editing computer. I don't edit any of that shit anymore.
Yeah.
There was no reward for it. Like, we get more views on the run and gun fast stuff than any of the, if I build a beautiful, you know, 6 days and we, you know, put thousands of dollars into making a 30 minute video, I get more views on a a 2-minute video that we didn't even edit, where I'm just, you know, stuttering and yelling around, acting crazy.
I think people appreciate the authenticity.
Maybe. Right? Yeah.
When I say editing, like, I don't actually do much editing. Like, when I do these streams and I have to put it in audio format, it's more of a conversion to MP3 and leveling it out and throwing bumper music on it. That I don't actually take anything out. But the only thing I'll take out is I do have live streams when it's like I don't have anybody with me and the wife is gone and one of the dogs comes to the door and starts doing the I'm going to shit on the floor if you don't let me out bark. And right in the middle of the stream, I'll have to get up and go put the dog out and come back. And then the only editing I do is the blank space in there. I just take it out for the audio side. Otherwise, I don't edit shit. But the expert panel shows have to be edited because mm-hmm. people like Nicole on the panel, they send all their answers in, and I have to put bridges in and shit. But the live streams, I don't edit crap. Like, here's what I don't get, John. I don't know. You don't really go on other people's shows, but like, you go on somebody else's show and they do Zoom or StreamYard or whatever, and they record it. They don't live stream it. And they're like, yeah, man, I'm going to run this like in 6 weeks.
Why?
I'm like, what the fuck are you? You have to put it to the editor. I mean, like, bro. Like,
that's because they're outsourcing their shit. It's going to Fiverr or wherever it's going.
Well, yeah. It would take me longer to explain what edits I want than to just do the edits.
It would take me longer to send the fucking files to these people. Because I get this like once a week. Jack, I've been watching your show, which is bullshit, right? They have never seen an episode for so long. You have a great podcast. You should stop wasting your time editing. Like, it took me longer to read your bullshit email than it takes me to edit an episode. Like, I've never understood outsourcing your editing for a podcast. For like a DVD or major video production or something, totally. It's time consuming and shit. I think we just have a lot of people that get into podcasting and they don't learn the skill, which takes, by the way, about a day. And so they don't know that, frankly, I think a lot of you guys are being ripped off that are out there doing your shows and have somebody else editing it.
Oh, fuck yeah. Fuck, oh, yes, you are.
There's skills, though, right? Oh, oops. I forgot I had that on.
I got to turn mine on. We got to play with that.
Yeah, the first skill is editing, like just physically using the software, super easy. The second skill is planning and recording your content in a way that makes it easy to edit.
It didn't work.
A lot of people paying
What's up?
A lot of people paying other people to clip their stuff. They're just using Opus Cut or they're using one of those, you know, generator softwares. I had a video dude that was really good in the beginning, and then I started having a bunch of stuff happen, and he was using Opus Cut. And I said, hey, every time I go to log into Instagram, and I've got 140,000 people on Instagram. We've developed that account for a long time. I was logged out and it said, we detect AI video because he was using that nonsense. And I go, look, I don't care what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, stop doing the thing that's getting us logged out because they're threatening to take the account. It's causing problems through Meta. And he kept doing it. And I was paying this dude, $5,000 a month. He was in house. He was here doing a lot of shit. But our view count went down, like just like Angie said, CapCut. I use CapCut because Tim said he used CapCut. When you use CapCut, there's a watermark. You got to pay for the higher level to get the watermark off of there. But all of those content platforms, they know you're using AI. So if you're doing a lot of shit and you're not getting any traction and you're not getting views, they are penalizing you for using those shortcuts. Like, you would be better off trying to grow your content. Just have an intro and an outro if you're going to have one, and just do raw footage. Like, that's what people are watching right now. Like, YouTube tells you what they want. Like, if you just take their creator studio thing or you go through and watch the videos, you can just follow YouTube channels and they'll tell you what the trends are. Just like on Instagram, they'll tell you what they want you to do, what length video and what they want and don't want. But a lot of people are paying people and they have this perception that they're doing so, and they're not doing anything. They're just, you were too lazy to, you know, watch the 30-minute video they watched.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used Opus Clip for a while and did well with it until the social media networks figured out what was going on.
Well,
there was a brief window and then
a lot of people will, like, you'll give them a 30-minute piece of content, right? And then your guy will cut it up through Opus Clip. If they bothered to watch your content, that's where the downfall is. They didn't watch your content. If they listened to the 30-minute clip, they would know where the hooks are, because Opus Cut's going to cut it, and they're just going to put something up on your Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. It's not going to make any sense. Had they moved it three words earlier or three words later, they missed the important part. They missed a couple of words that would have made the video actually work.
Yeah, that's what I noticed when I was using it. Like, it didn't actually pick a bad part, but you had to extend it back and maybe forward and play with it a little bit to get it to actually be congruent and make sense. Otherwise, it was just like this random grab. And even though it picked a good topic or good piece of the content, it didn't frame the context worth a shit. And
yeah, I think it was analyzing how many views or interactions you're having in that moment.
Yeah, you use the shorts to drive traffic to your long form. So if your shorts don't work, they're never going to bother to go subscribe to anything long form. When Jeff and I do the podcast, I'll go, there's your short.
Yeah.
Brandel edits those pieces out, but that's the short, like that 2 minutes right there. Come back 20 seconds, come to the, and let it run for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And those are the shorts that work. If you look at our TikTok and our Instagram for Pulling the Thread podcast, we've got 20 million views on a lot of those. That 1 minute little short, because Jeff said something that will inflame the TikTokers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I quit doing TikTok because they banned me. I don't even know why.
Oh, I quit doing it because if I opened it on my phone, I wasn't disciplined enough to stop looking at it. So I had to take it off my phone, and then I forgot it existed.
And the YouTube now, when you're going through YouTube videos, they keep targeting you. Every 3-4 videos, they target you on shorts. So if you get in there, you're just in that feed, and it's harder to back out of it now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had a listener who would send me 3 to 5 clips per show a day with the minute mark, which I was appreciative of. And some of them would do really well, but in general, it was not reaching my goal of driving. And so I figured it wasn't worth the effort at that point.
Yeah, that's right, Rebecca. It took longer to fix Opus Cut clips than it did to just edit them.
Yeah. Hi, Rebecca.
I know it's working for you, John, and maybe because of your format and your style, but I wonder for a lot of podcasters, like, would they just be better off for this short form if they just, fired up whatever they use to produce video content and just made a 1 minute video talking about what we're going to talk about today or just saying something. And if you want to know more, then we talked about it on this. And then
so that's what we've been doing. We on the table videos for the gear, we'll shoot the 10, 12 minutes. And I'm like, okay, now let me roll that. You'll even see me. I go, okay, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about shotguns. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about all of our shotgun products in 2 minutes or less. And then boom, we just roll it out. And I just say the same thing super fast. And then at 30 seconds, Brandel flags me, and then I just finish up.
Wrap it up in under a minute.
Yeah.
StreamYard now, you always knew this. StreamYard has the ability to do the vertical and the thing, but they made it easier now. And to me, like if I ever start fucking around with short form again, that's all I'm going to do is just cut, 1 minute to 90 seconds worth of shit and then just drop that only and then not really pull it out of the longer content.
When I do shorts that are specific to being shorts, they always do better.
Yeah.
And on my channel on YouTube, if I do a 2 to 5 minute video about how to do something or about the hauler, those do better than my long form. My long form does best as an audio podcast.
And for solo people, John's got all these people around him and shit. You have some people, but not always when you're ready to do something. I don't have anybody when I'm producing. The fact that you can create that vertical view for, TikTok or Facebook or whatever. And then as soon as you hit record, you've got a timer right there. So you don't need, somebody going, you're at 30 seconds or whatever, and you can just kind of time your shit. So I was going to do that for TikTok. I was going to change the name of my channel to Uncle Jack Says and just basically start talking to all these young retards that don't know how to talk to women and shit. And then just use that to filter people into my show. And then I logged into TikTok one day and said, your account has been permanently banned for violating our community guidelines. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I don't have time for this shit. And I know I was getting throttled there anyway, because I dropped some short form content on there and it would in 30 seconds, nothing would happen. And then for 2 minutes, it would just scream up to 800 views and then it would just die. So it's the content was hitting and they were somehow using something to throttle it. And I'm like, I don't have time for this shit. I just don't.
I got put into timeout for using the word retarded in reference to
that's
the design
retarded
of a mechanical device.
When anybody bitches about the word retarded, I just tell them that's fucking retarded.
I said that's what I got. They got me for fag, and they got me for retarded on TikTok. I only did like 3 live streams, and I'm like, did you just give me a demerit for saying retarded? And they hit me again, and that's when they ended my stream.
What a bunch of shit. I mean,
they banned my personal TikTok, but our big one is there. And like, we do way more shit on the big account than the little personal account ever did.
And I've never used that word in reference to a person with a disability.
No, of course you didn't.
No, you see that senator from Ohio that said he's going to vote against redistricting because Trump said retarded?
Yeah. Yeah, they've said a lot of stuff lately.
Facebook, if you go look up the actual post, like 8 out of every 10 comments is somebody telling him that he's fucking retarded.
Yeah.
So far, we haven't been dinged on YouTube for this word that we've used 90 times.
Yeah, I think that's kind of waning. Like, they've given up on censoring the word retard. Like, it just isn't going to happen. Like, it's, you know, when everybody's super, nobody's super. When everybody says retard, you can't censor everybody.
They don't like the word, but don't know the meaning. Yeah, it's like calling people Nazis. They don't know what that is.
They have no idea. They're using a much more insulting term with no context of the term. And how it's not just insulting the person you're saying it to. I heard a guy yesterday said that the thing they built in Florida, alligator Alcatraz, it's alligator Anschwart, whatever. Like, whatever, the big...
Alcatraz.
No. The big Nazi concentration camp, Auschwitz, right?
Okay.
Right, it's alligator Auschwitz. And I'm like, do you know how fucking insulting that is to somebody whose family fucking actually died in fucking Auschwitz? Right, when you're making that comparison, oh, this is a place this guy's going to stay for a few days before they send him back to where he's from, and that's the same as putting people into a place and starting to gas chamber people. It's exactly the same thing. A guy sent me a video yesterday about how all this is being used to control people, and it was about the Charlie Kirk thing. And he said, but the really horrifying part of the Charlie Kirk thing isn't what you think it is. It's the fact that people cheered for it. But it's the why people cheered for it, because we've become so desensitized by constantly having the most extreme version of both sides of this bullshit shoved at us that you naturally, when you see only the extremes, you go, well, fuck. Okay, I don't really like either one of these, but if that's what I have to pick from, then I have to, like, I can't do this, so I have to do that. And it doesn't matter which one you pick, it's something will motivate you that direction. And then the other people become non-fucking human to you. And that's the real goal, is to become non-human. And he quoted some big revolutionist from Romania. And he said that this guy said that communism really fell apart in Romania when we all stopped believing the lies and repeating the lies. And it wasn't the government that actually, you know, decided to stop doing it. It was when we simply decided not to believe anymore. And then their fantasy just collapsed. And that was the end of the true, you know, the communist dictatorship in Romania.
That sounds like an Overton window thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Because the reason we're talking extremes is to widen that window.
Yep.
To then flip people. Yep.
Yep. My mom and uncle bought this shit hook line and say, oh, okay. I understand now.
Yep. Okay, I've got a start item from Ed. Hey, Ed. which gives me more caffeine, light or dark roast? Coffee time with Nicole. The answer is technically the light roast is giving you more caffeine, because if you're going per volume and not per weight, it's more dense at the time. And so it's like smaller but more compact, so you're getting more coffee bean and you get more caffeine in the light roast. They do say that it burns it off. I don't think that's true. I haven't found that that's true, but I could be wrong because I haven't gone down that trail completely. But the answer is it's not a large amount different. So coffee beans where it's been bred to have higher caffeine has higher caffeine, or if they have infused it with additional caffeine, that's how you get more caffeine. Personally, my goal with coffee is not how much caffeine can I get in one cup. It's not an efficiency thing. It's a flavor thing. So, and I like the feeling on these cold mornings when it's when there are rumors of snow to have a warm cup in my hand as I just before I get started into beast mode, which actually today beast mode starts after this podcast, but where we're going to make a gajillion of these.
A gajillion.
Not quite, but yeah, it's a lot of gift wrapping right now because we had free gift wrapping through midnight yesterday.
Oh, God.
Well, today you get, if you order now, you get free espresso bites if you're an ounce of espresso bites in a cute little package if your order is over $30. So,
you know, I fell for the, like, add $5 to have this gift wrapped on Amazon once.
Yeah.
And the thing came, it was just like a red fucking bag with a pull string.
Yep.
It was like a 50-cent gift bag.
But you didn't have to do it.
But I didn't have to do it, right?
Like, yeah,
but
you didn't have to wrap it.
And it was like something I wasn't shipping to the person, but I was like, I want to see what they do. Like, do they actually, like, you know, they used to have you go in the mall and you could have your shit and they would do it beautifully. Mm-hmm. 6-inch ribbon curls. There's a breadcrumb. Right. And they would do really nice wrap jobs for you. I'm like, well, is that what they do for $5? Cause then, well, no, they just literally was like this cheap ass Chinesium bag and with a pull string. And I'm like, well, shit, I can do that. That's not. Yeah. And it's like a brown ass Amazon bag in there. They didn't even take it like out.
Amazon's crazy. Like, we'll get a box that's the size of this table and it'll have this in it. Like,
oh yeah, that's crazy.
And they there's no rhyme or reason to it. Same with like Chewy. We get these bags of feed from Chewy that are 45 pounds and the box is form fit. We get another bag that's 45 pounds for the ostrich feed. And it comes in a box. It's the same size bag, same weight, but the box is three times bigger. So this massive 45-pound bag is rolling around, and when you pick the box up, it collapses.
Yeah.
But it's the same. It's from the same place. They ship from the same thing.
You know, we'll get something a little about that big, and it'll be in a box that you could have fit 20 of them in.
Yeah,
and Cody. There's like a shitload of paper in there with it that does nothing.
It
fires really well.
Cody got two Surefire 123 battery rechargeables with USB. Two batteries. Yeah. Literally, two batteries in a package clamp pack seal in a box that you could have put this chair in. Like the chair I'm sitting in could have fit in this box, and it just had two batteries in it.
You ever get something from them that's fucked up and they say it's not eligible for return because it has batteries in it and you can't ship it?
So
you're like,
you
motherfuckers had no problem shipping it to me.
Right. We would buy 24 heat bulbs, glass light bulbs, red light bulbs for the bearded dragon cages. And inevitably out of 24, some of them would be smashed and they would never just send us three more. They'd send us another 24. And they did that shit for years. Like we had shelves full from the damaged ones we would report and they just kept sending them. But now they've got actual good packaging to ship light bulbs and stuff with now.
Yeah, I did that with glasses once. I wanted Glencairn glasses to have them embossed. And the only way I could get them was Amazon. And Amazon shipped four cases to me so I could get a case. A lot of every time the UPS driver would be like, I think something's broken in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you took the glasses in, no padding whatsoever, and just shipped them. Okay. One made it. So I use bags for some of mine, and I hand wrap others. It just depends on what it is. What good kitchen shears that come apart do you recommend? We'll be using to spatchcock a chicken or a turkey? I use a cleaver to spatchcock a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do spatchcock turkeys. I just take the breast cutlets off, and I take the leg quarters off, and I throw the core in a pot to make stock and gravy. And it's really easy because you have four pieces, and you put a thermometer probe in each one, and you throw them in the oven or on the smoker or however you're making it, and as each piece comes to temperature, you pull it.
But you have some shears that you used to like that separated, right?
Oh, I do chickens that way because they're a much smaller bird, and you can do it. I have, the easiest thing to do with chickens is just, kitchen shears, straight down the backbone, and you can do
that. Do you have a preferred? I think that's what they're asking. Do you have a preferred one?
I did. It was made by a company called Red Yeti Ware, and they went out of business, and then they supposedly came back, and it was Chinese knockoff bullshit. So now I just recommend Fiskars.
Fiskars?
Whiskers. The big things you want with kitchen shears is you want micro serrations on the edge. You also want them to be able to come apart if you're going to be cutting chicken and shit. You do not want some sort of like ectoplasm growing in there, so it needs to come apart. And then a lot of them that seem like they're great, the problem is once you open them hard enough to get a chicken, you'll go to close it and they come apart while you're cutting. And the Red Yeti wares were brilliant, and I don't know why they went away. I think because they only had a couple products, and you can't really build up products that with two or three products. But the Fiskars are really good. They're not as good, but they're really good, and they're like $20.
I have a set of your original recommendation right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their last leg.
Yeah, like, even mine.
The handle coatings coming off, and yeah,
mine. The grips got all sticky and shit to where like you use them and you had like print on your fingers, and I'm like, okay, that's time. 9 years. It's time to give up. If I would have known that would have happened when I found them, they were like $15. I would have bought like 10 pairs of them, and I would have like had a pair until I died then. But
that's John's strategy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm opening stuff out of the packaging now that's older, and the rubber just like on Oakley sunglasses, the rubber on Beats headphones, the rubber has trashed. Like that's just, it times out. You could have it brand new in the box and it's trashed by the time you use it. So that strategy hasn't, they've made that stuff to fail.
Yeah. We know what that is, guys, right? That's designed obsolescence.
Yep.
Because I still have shit that my grandfather owned that still works, right? And so don't tell me that in 1930 we had better technology than we have in 2025.
We were talking about that this morning. Look at like 100-year-old pencil sharpeners. Look at pencil sharpeners from 100 years ago. It's insane the intricacy that they had in those things, and they still function. There's a whole like underground cult of pencil sharpener collectors. You can see it on eBay. They've got $100, you know, multi-hundreds of dollars of pencil sharpeners.
I used to have the old wall one, and I don't know what happened to it. I feel like
your teacher had on the desk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was left in the workshop down here. And I wish I knew where that was, because that thing was great. And we needed a pencil sharpener the other day.
Yeah.
So Ian says Kangshan Shears, Kangshan.
For $20, I'm going to order a set right now.
Yeah, and he's a chef, so he might.
Yep.
So I'll bring them up.
He probably has some experience.
Josh, what do you like? What do you like?
They're
for Shears,
$20,
Josh? So
I'll put them through a trial. I mean, like, they look pretty damn nice, and they look like they meet my requirements. They definitely come apart. They definitely have micro shears. That joint looks to me like it's not going to be a problem. The joint on them where they come apart on you while you're using them. I bet the only negative is going to be they're going to do the same thing over time, but that's to be expected at this point. With that plastic, will probably break down. But if you get 8 years out of them for $20, so they're going in the cart right now, and I'll order a set. And if they work out, I'll add them to the catalog.
Awesome. Yeah, let us know, because I'm it's time for me to replace.
It's Chinesium, but gets the job done and easy to replace. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chinesium.
That is an issue. Well, and Chinesium isn't as good as it used to be.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. Like, and what really sucks is a lot of these Chinese companies in cutlery have snapped to the concept that people actually really value Japanese cutlery. So they market their product as though it's Japanese. So you think you're buying Japanese knives or Japanese whatever with Japanese steel and all, which the Japanese make some really badass cutlery. But it's not. And they kind of bury it. They'll even call it like something that makes you think it's Japanese. They'll even put Japan, but they'll put like Japan style or some shit on it. But then in fine print, you'll see manufactured in China.
And that's what's made Amazon really hard to use as a general rule now. Because every time I'm looking for something, I need a replacement lid for a casserole dish that it just wore out, right?
Yeah.
And they make silicone instead of plastic now. So now I'm saying this Pyrex dish, silicone. And it's all sorts of Chinese whatever plastic, doesn't even fit things. And it's because the search terms are owned by them. And somewhere down on page 10, I'll finally find the thing I want. It's frustrating.
Yeah. They also lie a lot of times, too. You'll look for something and then it'll come up. And you're like, that's not what it looks like. It's what you said, but it's not.
Yep.
Huh.
Next on that list needs to be digital thermometers. Jack's digital thermometer is a great recommendation because you can change the batteries and it just works. And it turns off if you leave it open.
Yeah, that's...
I have two of them.
Yeah, Thermo Maven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Thermo Maven, those are great. And that was the big thing with them. Like, all of the ones that I bought before I found these, they had two big problems. And one was they did not have, like, a you left it open kill switch, which is just annoying and stupid. And there's no reason in 2025 for an electronic device to not have that. But the other thing was they used, like, the little flat freaking batteries like we use in, like, thermoscopes and shit like that, which is fine, except the way they're designed, it's like once you take one out, you can never get it back together. You have to be a fucking neurosurgeon to reinstall it and the gasket and get it to work. So you get pissed off and throw it away. I found these. They use a freaking double A or two double A's, one or the other. I don't remember. They work great. They open beer bottles. They have a magnet on them. They're accurate. And they have an auto cutoff switch, and they're 20.
And it's instant read, which is important.
Yeah, yeah. And I get a lot of utility out of them. And they also show me how inaccurate a lot of other, like, you know, high technical thermometers really are. I actually, with that tool as my baseline, figured out that the cheap ass Vivor probe thermometers are more accurate than the very expensive meter block thermometers.
That's good to know.
And they're more accurate than the freaking plug-in probes that are integrated into my Pit Boss smoker. Those are off by about 10 degrees to the low end, which is probably why that lamb needed to be finished on that flat top.
Yep.
That's why it looked so
It was very, heavy. Yeah, it was very still raw inside, but it was delicious.
It was delicious. That, that little quick 30-second hit was all it needed, but yeah. That's why. Because we thought we were at like 136, and we were really at like 126.
Yep. Okay, does Hollow Roast have a French roast whole bean? Yes. Order it Siegler Roast, and you will get a French roast whole bean. Any coffee on the site. And I can ship it to you in this beautiful tin can with no plastic inside the can. Yes. Hmm.
I'm looking at those Kangshans that guy mentioned. They've got one, Nicole. It looks dramatically familiar, a different version. Let me show you.
Yes.
That one on the left there. Doesn't that look really familiar?
Yes.
And they cost less. And it's a double set. I'm ordering that shit right now.
Yeah.
We'll see. Proceed checkout. All right. So if anybody's confused at how you place an Amazon order, you just watched. There you go.
Done. It's all set. Mine asks for a PO before I can order.
Oh, because you have it set up that way.
I do, because it's really easy when I have the person who helps me code everything, code it, it's there. And then I just have to double check that it looks right.
Yeah, I got you.
Yep.
Because my PayPal debit card is a business one, I always get the you need a PO at Lowe's if I use it to pay. And I
is
just
that why they do? Is that why they do that?
Yeah, because it's a business card.
Yeah.
And you can just tell them, like they say, well, is there a PO with that? You can just say no, and they'll bypass it. Yeah. But you can just also make some shit up. Yeah.
The date.
R739149 or 5.
Yeah.
And you can see the guy.
I noticed this morning when I went into my Amazon shopping cart, I had 20 notifications that things have gone up in price or doubled. And yeah. I thought, well, maybe it's because Black Friday's over. But a lot of that stuff that was in that shopping cart had been in there for months or even a year.
Uh-huh.
And that a lot of stuff has, in fact, doubled.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's not a surprise, actually.
Yep. And a lot of shit's doubled that shouldn't. Like, when you look at it, this is not something hit by a tariff. Like, they just, yeah. I think there's a lot of people increasing pricing because they can hide underneath that.
Or you have to increase pricing because everything else within the business went up.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, you just, the part you need to take out to, like, pay for your shit, that went up. Yeah. So you have to pass that along one way or another.
Yep.
But I don't think we can rule out, like, the tariff is a very convenient excuse. I think just generalized inflation itself, you know, like that's more what we're looking at. Have you ever thought about it this way? Like, I'm working this into my new book. The way to explain inflation to somebody that can't grok it is, what if we had, like, an island, right? And it got too expensive to build houses because, like, one of the few limited things on the island is timber. And there was some, edict that all houses had to be, let's say, a minimum of 1,300 square feet. So the king of the island just declares that they'll reduce the size of an inch by 1/12 and you'll still have 12 inches to a foot, but a foot will be effectively 11 inches. And therefore, the board feet of lumber necessary to build a house will go down by 8.33%, and the house is more affordable. As stupid as that fucking sounds, it corrupts only things measured linearly. When you do it with money, it corrupts every fucking thing in an economy.
Interesting.
And when you tell somebody you would do that, that's fucking stupid. Well, wait a minute. If that's stupid, let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's, you know, if your ruler is variable, your results are bullshit. Well, the ruler by which we measure the value of fucking everything, not just in America, in the world, because we're the reserve currency, is the dollar. The dollar is variable, therefore all results are bullshit.
Yeah,
I mean, if that hippie can figure it out, then, you know.
Tariffs definitely hit coffee beans. I can say that.
And didn't you get, like, boned because, like,
I got boned hard.
Like, bite the bullet and do it, and then, like, a week later, they pulled the tariffs off of it?
Sort of, but the prices haven't gone down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know what coffee spot is today, but, yeah, it was the Brazil tariff was the one that was just killing me. But I only bought one bag of Brazil that day.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because I was like, this at some point, this is going to break, or I'm just going to put a different bean in my blend, my house blend, because that's what's using it up so fast. And it's that chocolate Brazil bean flavor I like, but I can find that in, you know, Honduras or somewhere else if I want to. So that's just what has to happen. We actually ran out of Brazil at one point. No, Colombia at one point because I couldn't get the organic beans. But
I wonder if the reason the coffee price hasn't gone down is because they don't, like, bring it in every day. Like, the warehousers themselves are bringing in a certain amount, and then they're reselling to you. And, like, do they have to deplete their tariffed inventory before they can bring prices down? And then could they lie about that for a while?
No, they I'm looking up coffee spot price today. They price, so they'll price Brazil, for example, it's coffee spot price plus whatever for a specific farm, which they've already bought. And so they're playing a commodity game. Yeah, we're up at 407 today.
Okay.
So when I was at your house, I was down below 4.
Okay.
I wasn't at the low, but it was at 3.
Is that a pound? Is that that price per pound?
Yeah.
407
and then it's that plus something for different varieties. And if it's if it's an organic premium Colombian, it's going to, I was up around, you know, $5.50, $6 a pound for some of it.
Mm.
Yeah. Which when I started roasting coffee, it was $3 a pound, you know, generally 3 to 4. So, but that's really, and so Brian Norton's really helped me understand this part of the business because you can watch it like a stock.
Okay.
And you can predict when it's at a low and then just lock.
And buy the shit out of it.
And buy some. As a smaller producer, I don't lock it for the year that way, though. So,
yeah. Well, the great producers, they're probably using futures to lock the price.
Yeah.
And they're doing it by the metric shit ton at a time.
Yeah.
That was one of the ways Southwest always kept their rates low. They were doing that with gas. Yeah, they're doing that with jet fuel.
Yeah.
And you're like, why the fuck doesn't American Airlines do this too? I think they do now, but, like, they were one of the first airlines to, like, hey, wait a minute. Guess what we could do?
Yep. Well, now Southwest has messed up their brand.
Yeah, that's what I hear. I've never really used them, so I don't know, but I heard that they're not what they used to be or whatever.
They got the board that took over wanted, basically had them mimic what other airlines are doing, so baggage fees, assigned seating, all of the things, like all of the things that made Southwest a little bit different have been undone this year.
Oh, no.
Well, so then there's no reason to pay more.
The only thing that made Southwest different was that they cost less.
Yeah.
And then their service went to absolute dog shit during all the COVID, and they did all the woke bullshit. and it became like the cruise lines of the sky, and you had all the crazy shit happen, and normal people said, I'm not doing this bullshit anymore. Like that's the real answer is you had all the trash, and then they were letting giant monstrous people have two, three seats, and they, like, it was just a bunch of bullshit, and people just said, I'm not going to use your company anymore.
What does woke touch that it doesn't ruin? I mean, really, like, I can't think of anything, and it's like no one will learn that lesson. Like,
if it was so great, they would have their own shit. They wouldn't have to go in and infect everything else.
Yeah, why don't they have woke airlines and woke restaurant, right, and whatever? Like, all the, like, just make your own woke brand instead of corrupting brands people actually like. That's just the story of communism, though, isn't it? Like, communism is never, like, Genesis itself and created a great society. It goes in and tries to take over a society. In fact, if you read Marx, like, that was his whole predication anyway. We need the capitalist system first, and then the workers take it over. So that its own genesis, it acknowledges it, to actually build anything from nothing, you need capitalism.
When Target did all the woke shit a couple years ago, like, we hadn't been in Target. I hadn't been in Target in probably 2 years. If I'm ever in Target, it's once, maybe twice a year. It's run in, look to see if they have the thing I'm looking for. We went into Target this weekend, and it was a ghost town. Like, that was when we were there Saturday, right? So Black Friday weekend stuff. Target was empty. There was whatever the capacity should be of Target, it was at 10%. The parking lot wasn't full. There was not customers there. It looked almost like, not that they had sold out, but the aisles were pushed further apart. It's just not, it's like it's dying. It's like it's dwindling.
I wonder how much in-person shopping is, right? There's a whole bunch of
that's true.
Black Friday being a big bummer, and it doesn't exist anymore. Whatever happened to Black Friday? Black Friday went online. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then it turned into a whole month of Black Friday.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in the same town, 5 minutes away, Sam's Club was packed. Walmart was packed. Everywhere there was plenty of traffic. All the projections were that this was going to be a terrible Black Friday. But if you listen to Valuetainment, like Bette David and those guys, they said that it set record highs. Like, our Black Friday, we were concerned. Like, the year is definitely, it's a lot more effort and promos and stuff to maintain level. But our Black Friday was through the roof. Our Black Friday was as good as, like, 3 years ago Black Friday. Like, we did huge amounts. Like, our sales are still rolling through the whole time I'm sitting here. Sale, sale, sale. It's still running.
I think there is just a huge piece of that. That the more people figure out how much better it is to go buy, mm-hmm. then get in the car, drive to a place, deal with people screaming and yelling, kids upset. Like, I think it used to, I think what made it even last as long as it did, the retail space for Black Friday, was that people had family traditions of, like, we all get together, we go out, we go shopping. And I think as people age out, that tradition, like many, is dying. And it's unfortunate for a lot of traditions. I don't know that it's a bad thing for people going to stores. Like, I've never understood it, like the compulsion to go shopping for something to do. Like, if I buy something, I need it or I want it, and that's it. Like, I don't take any joy from walking through a store and looking at a bunch of shit I'm never going to buy. But, man, people do it, and people love it. And, like, it's even built in. Like, you think about the old, like, the top Christmas movies of all time, like, funny ones and shit, like Christmas Vacation. It's, like, bolted into that. Or Christmas Story with little Ralphie and the BB gun. Mm-hmm. Like, it all starts off Christmas shopping.
And at the mall.
At the mall or out at the – like, that one was sold as more like the town square and Bigsby's or whatever the store was. But I just don't think it's the thing that it used to be. Like, it used to be, like, Black Friday was, like, all the family was in town and shit. So, like, dad had a hangover and stayed in and slept in, and all the women went out and went Christmas shopping together. And, like, I just don't think it's the thing anymore.
Well, think about it, too.
Finding the thing at the store is part of the problem, right? Because when you go to the store options that you have, which if you're looking at big names are like Walmart and Target and all of that, it's a bunch of cheap crap that nobody wants. Like, oh, I'm going to get you this plastic thing. Merry Christmas.
And I think general availability, like, the one thing that actually defeats inflation in our society is technology. Right. So, like, it used to be they would they would say, we have a 40-inch TV for $300. And then, like, people would line up and kill each other to get one of those, because they were buying it for somebody else, sure. And now it's like, I can buy a freaking 40-inch TV on Amazon, deliver to my house for $200. Right?
A lot of
your granddad paid $1,500 for a 25-inch console in 1985. Right? So why am I going to go to the store? Like, that was how they suckered you in, too, was those special deals that, like, I can order that now.
A lot of the Black Friday stuff used to be impulsive buys, right? You'd be there and you would do part of your Christmas shopping and such. We were in Walmart Saturday also, and Amanda said, I don't know why it's so packed. And then something came up on the phone or something. She got a notification while standing in Walmart that they're doing hourly specials and sales. So they have stuff and you only have 60 minutes to buy this thing. And then the sale changes on, you know, 100 different items in the store. And that's why the store was so packed at Walmart. But we used to go to Walmart, well, not Walmart, but like the mall as a destination, right? Because especially on Thanksgiving, what's open? You can go to the movies on Thanksgiving. What's open on Black Friday? We would go to those places as something to do while you had people in town. You've been at the house the last couple of days, and then you would go there as a destination. This has replaced the destination. Everybody does this thing now. They don't go to the movies and watch movies. Like I had said the other day, I saw a DVD or something. I go, man, I don't know when the last time I sat in front of a screen was and actually turned on. We have televisions. We've got massive TVs. I've watched them 3 times, maybe 4 times. Like I don't ever turn on a screen bigger than this MacBook Pro right here anymore. We just don't use any of that stuff.
I use it for tornado tracking YouTube live streams if they're nearby.
And another example, like the whole reason we went to Jackson was I need some wire shelving, these big 6 foot tall wire 4 foot racks, right? That we have hundreds of them in the shop. And they were always $70 to $100. We walk into Sam's Club, it says that they are $160 and they had zero. We couldn't get it. I can literally order them on sale for $100 from Sam's.com. And they get here in 1 to 2 days. Little girl jumps out of the FedEx truck and brings these 100-pound shelves and sets them up by the thing. These desks right here, these massive 6-foot tables, 8-foot tables, they're like 180 pounds, 160 pounds. We buy them right off. I can get them cheaper than me and Amanda fighting to put them and have to haul a trailer to get 6-7 of these racks. FedEx will drop them off and put them right on my front porch. For the same price, actually for less than the price of buying them local.
Yeah, Hey Alabama was saying they don't really want you to go to the stores anyway because it's more theft.
So yeah. Not
so
only that,
it all online.
Walmart stated goal 3 years ago. We know a dude that was a management at Walmart, and he told us that years ago. He said by 2025, their goal is to have 65% less customers come into the store. They started splitting stores and remodeling. And they basically had mirrored stores. You would go to half the store, pick and pull would go to the other. You ever been in a Walmart lately? Do you notice there's a bunch of people walking around with these carts with these bins picking and pulling orders? Most of the people in your way, most of the people in an aisle are not actual shopping customers. They are people shopping for customers. And Walmart has said now they've pushed it back to 2030, but they do not want to have any in-store shopping. Everything's going to be online shopping.
And that, I think that's a big part of the transition, too. Like, because of what I did back in the 90s, I was directly in touch with a lot of the early .com stuff and online sales for brick-and-mortar stores. And everybody knew they had to be on the internet in case, but they weren't sure. So what these companies did is they literally created, like, an internet division that was separate from everybody else. So all the marketing, and it was like competitive internally. So the people that ran the store side didn't want anything to do with the fucking internet. And the internet people got nothing from the store side. So they were like at odds with each other. So that slowed development, rollout, and growth. And then until Amazon basically pressured everybody with Prime. Like, you better ship your shit fast. Like, you ordered, so you remember the 80s, John? You ordered shit online 6 to 8 weeks for fucking delivery.
Yeah, right? But it's still, that happens sometimes on Amazon now. Like, yeah. Prime doesn't do shit anymore.
A few things will be like that, but there used to be, like, everything was 6 to 8.
Yes.
6 to 8 weeks for delivery, no CODs, right? Like,
yes.
Like, and you ordered something, like, it actually got you with a fucking commercial, and you'd order something like a record set or something, and then the shit showed up. It was so fucking long since you ordered, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. Oh yeah, I ordered that shit in August and it's like October.
We talked, we buy patches, right? And we bought patches for years from American made companies, but they always came from different shippers and they always had the China tape, right? The yellow tape. So we found a place in Wuhan in China. I talked to them literally 24 hours a day. I send an email. They send me a sew out. I send them a concept, the JPEG or whatever. They send me a photo of a patch they've already 100% done. And they're like, is this what you want? We approve it. I get patches from Wuhan, China that get here in 3 to 5 days. DHL walks them in the business. They walk them in the front door. I pay 3 times as much buying out of a massive U.S. only company in New York. Yeah. And they don't come from New York. They come from China and it takes 6 to 8 weeks. They're like, when do you need these? I'm like, I really need them yesterday. Just tell me whatever the price is. Okay, well, we can have them for you in 10 weeks. Why would I buy from you?
Yeah.
When I can buy from the same place you're buying from.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how the Chinese do that, because it's not just big orders like you. They do this with like one off shit. My kid found a site. This is 20 years ago, 15 years ago at least, called it's probably gone because every time this company came back, the NFL would get them taken down. It was called Google Jerseys.
Mm-hmm. .com,
and you go there and like you could get any player, any team, whatever, and it looked exactly like the champion actual NFL. It had the hologram and all that shit on it, and you could go there like, oh, I want, you know, a Troy Polamalu Pittsburgh jersey in black, and you'd make it and order it, and within a week it was at your house and it was being manufactured in China. Which is, that's, well, I get how you can order like a case of patches or something and they do that. But one person ordering a single jersey and they were like $25.
It's the same thing.
Like an NFL jersey is like $150, $200.
Yeah, same thing. Like we'll use Sticker Monkey or Sticker Junction, or we use several of these different companies. They get from Switzerland half the time. Well, I'll order patches. I'll order stickers. And in 2 days, I get a box comes in here, DHL, that came from Switzerland with my stickers in it. How can you farm that out to Switzerland cheaper than somebody in the United States can make those things?
It's not like Switzerland has a low cost of living.
Yep.
I don't get the shipping time, but I get how you can make something cheap in China. How do you make something cheap in Germany or Switzerland? It makes you wonder how jacked up our system really is, you know, when you think about it that way, because I don't know if you've ever priced real estate in Switzerland, but it is not an inexpensive place to be, nor is, you know, a simple meal out or something. So those people are paid very well, and somehow, but I think it's automation, though, like one dude sitting there taking orders and like just, the system is so efficient. You need very few people to operate it, where I feel like in America, companies hire employees just because they have the money to hire employees.
Well, I just heard something yesterday, too. There's a $9,000 tax credit. There's a video of a lady in Walmart, probably by a border town, it seemed like, black lady. She's like, hey, do you speak English? No, I don't speak English, talking in Spanish. She went through like 6-7 different employees. None of them said, every one of them said, I don't speak English. I speak Spanish. In the video, the host, I think it was Benny or somebody, said that there is a $9,000 tax credit for every migrant import that you hire, and Walmart has hired a ton of these people. I don't know how that would be beneficial for the company. Yeah, $9,000 tax deferment that you don't have to pay on taxes. Maybe if you just hire them, keep them for 30 days, and then dump them, you get the $9,000. I don't know the math of it, but there's something in place where they get paid for hiring those people.
Yeah. Yeah. There's weird things like that in different places too. Like my ex business partner, Neil, who was from the UK, said that they would get interns in that would work for them for 6 months, and they made a decent income. They made like, you know, £2,000 a month. And this is 30 years ago. So that's a pretty good amount of money. That's when the pound was a lot stronger against the dollar too. And they didn't pay anything for them. The government would take people out of university and pay for 6 months of it, pay a company to use them as an intern, and they would pay the intern, and the company would just get the work for free. And I don't know how that's efficient, but apparently it worked out pretty well, because it got people to start. They got experience, because would you hire me if I work for free? Well, you probably will. I mean, he said you could get rid of them, and if you did, like, the government's like, you know what, fuck you. like, nope, we're not going to get you another one. Like, you got fired from a job where you cost nothing. We're done with you.
Right.
Like,
it's harder to work with the people who cost nothing.
Yeah,
it sure
I did
is.
That one time. There was a program where they're trying to get people into a work program. I'm like, I'm going to do my part and help. This is when I was much younger. And it was not good.
Did they get paid, though?
They got paid.
Okay.
And we paid, the government paid like 75%. We paid 25%.
Okay.
And the idea was just, you know, in a month or two, when you realize how valuable they are, then you hire them on. And it was sort of a no risk trial thing. But that didn't go well.
Cheap long term job interview or something.
We used to see it at grocery stores. You would see like mentally handicapped people. Like there'd be two or three full blown Down syndromes people, but there was always a handler with them. And you'd see them doing like menial tasks around the store.
Yeah.
And I never looked into it, but they said that those companies get paid a massive amount from federal programs to have them, and they basically come with a handler. So those people live in a house or whatever, and their counselor comes to work and has them, you know, break down cardboard or empty trash cans or whatever they can capably do. But there's massive benefits to those major corporations for hiring them. I don't know what it is, but I don't see that anymore. Just like the Walmart door greeters. You don't see Walmart door greeters anymore either.
No.
Hello. Well, so I know from my college job was at Goodwill, and Goodwill's mission at that time was to integrate disabled people into the workforce. And so it was like you're a worker or you're a client or you're a social worker with the client. The clients were the disabled, and they would train them on how to do things in Walmart and then go out with them in the community and then, you know, get them jobs somewhere and then work with them to help them with the longer ramp up to learn the job. And that was a subsidized thing where it is, again, it was, you paid something per hour, but not everything. And then the person was sent out by Walmart or not by Walmart, by Goodwill to work with them until they didn't have to be there all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's probably some amount, something like that, that they're providing that. But then Goodwill's mission appears to have changed to more of a general get people working training.
Yeah, and I actually think they're a good charity because you don't give them money, you give them stuff. They sell the stuff and they pay salaries to people that wouldn't have a job if they didn't have a job at Goodwill. And that seems pretty, and I get a tax deduction, and I honestly, a lot of the shit that I give to Goodwill, like it's useful, but if I didn't give it to Goodwill, it would go to the dump. So, I mean, I look at that as a win, you know.
They're doing like computer training classes and workforce training now too, which is
cool.
A totally different shift from what it was when I was there. That was 30 years ago. So,
I mean, all I see is we pull the truck in, people take the stuff out, and they give us a food, we fill out ourselves, and I leave. I don't go inside or nothing. But the reason I even know how they manage the money is somebody did actually a really interesting kind of rating system for charities, and it was how much money that's given to them that they actually put to people that need help. And Goodwill was super low on it. Well, when I look at it, like they're giving no money because they're spending the money to employ the people that are receiving the charity. And I'm like, that should put them at the top of the list because they're not giving money because they don't get any money. You don't write a check to Goodwill unless you're buying something. I don't know.
You can write a check to Goodwill if you're not buying something, but that's a different program.
Well, you can write a check to me if you're not buying something. I mean, if you do that, I'll cash the check. But you never see an ad on TV. Please give to Goodwill, right? Like you see for all these other charities, you know, and you look them up and it turns out they're giving like 20 cents or 15 cents or something, a dime on the dollar is actually going to the mission. Like that's a charity I'm not going to give to. I'm sorry. No, I'd rather not get a tax deduction and find somebody in need, just write them a check and send it to them.
Okay, John, what Bluetooth earbuds do you use? I see them randomly in videos. When you're working.
They were Dre's Beats, and about 10 years ago, that company was bought by Apple, and they went to trash when Apple started. That's when they started failing all the time. The glue failed in them. The rubber started. They changed something in them. I continue to use them because they had good sound. I've used everything from Skullcandy. I've used everything from Bose. but the Dre Beats were about $120 for a corded headset. They still have separates. I don't want separates. I lose them, and when they're corded, I will definitely lose one separate. So until you spend $1,000, which is you're going to go to a tour ear or something real in ears, you're not going to have that same bass. You're not going to have the same sound. I've tried everything. I know there's somebody typing right now telling me how great their $100 set of earbuds is. I still use the Dre Beats. I have three pairs that I rotate through. The glue, I've glued them back together. They are failing. I have come to terms that I'm going to have to go with separates. I intend to epoxy 550 cord on them. I keep them in my ears so that people don't talk to me usually while I'm working. But when I need to, I can pull them out and put them around my head. These things, I have them out in storms on the mower. I have them out on the four-wheelers. I have them out in the snow. I've covered in sweat mowing acres at a time. They're great. I've used them, but they're coming to an end. You cannot get them any longer. They were on Amazon as refurbished. Typically, when you bought them refurbished, they were in a brand new package. Somebody had just returned them.
Yep.
But they don't exist anymore. So if you have something that you think is high end, if you're buying $35 earbuds, don't email me. But if you have something that legitimately is a high quality, heavy bass sound, let me know what it is. I'd like to try them out.
I have a subwoofer right there. It does a great job.
I will never wear that shit. I'm never going to put that thing in my ear.
These are great. I use them all the time.
I've tried all kinds.
They're $25 on sale right now.
Anker?
Anker. A-N-K-E-R.
Yeah, I got a bunch of Anker battery packs.
Those, the reason I use those, they have the over-the-ear thing, and I do those because I don't know what it is in my left ear, but anything that goes inside the ear – eventually just like, it doesn't just fall out. It like poops out. And I've had them go into duck ponds. I've had them fall into my aquaponic systems. They drop in where the, you know, they'll always pop out where you're walking through grass. It's like friggin' 8 inches deep or some shit and you can't find them. These don't fall off. They're $25. If I lose one, I don't give a fuck.
I'll try them. Even the Dre Beats I use have the over the ear thing. Cause I can hook them in. I can just hold them over my ears.
Yeah. I just don't know, like those right there. If you glued TA-50 to them, I don't know if you would be able to put them in the charging case.
That
would be the problem.
Every
time they go on sale, I buy like an extra pair of them and throw them in the drawer still in the box because they come taped off where they don't draw from the battery or whatever. Those ones there were like $100 when they came out. Now, what I love about Anker, when they discontinue something, they just fucking fire sale it until it's gone. And that when you see an Anker product go from like $90 to like $20, if you want some, buy it because it's going to go away. You know,
that's how I got all those little speakers you can daisy chain.
Yeah, those are awesome too, man. Like Anker is, I think we're going to lose Anker as a value brand though. They, you know, now they're on the shelf in Costco. Yeah, and they're building a competitive product to Musk's Powerwall. And you have to get a quote for that. There's no, you can't just click and buy it. You have to get a quote for it because you have to have it installed and shit. So they've clearly taken that path of using a value brand to springboard a big brand. And they'll probably still be good quality, but they just won't be inexpensive anymore. And then what happened to Beats will happen. Some big player will buy them out. The founders will get their payday, and then the quality will go to shit. We'll have to find a new one.
That's our cycle.
Yeah, that is our cycle. Because, like, even when I've talked to investors about some ideas I've had, they're like, so we're going to build this to sell it, right? Like, yeah, we're going to sell it to, like, no, not the people. We're going to build the company to sell the company.
The whole company.
Yeah, like from the beginning, before they even put a dollar in, they want a plan to exit the company by selling the company. And that's made investors and founders very diametrically opposed. People that are founders, unless they're just in that mindset too, generally like they're giving birth to something. Like you care about what you're building or you wouldn't build it. And the investor just wants a payday, which is understandable, but they want the payday. They want a 5-year exit plan. That's every angel investor, venture capitalist right now is looking for a 5-year exit strategy, even if the company doesn't exist yet. Like, how do you get this big enough to offload it to somebody else? And then they don't give a fuck what happens to it. And I can understand it from a pure monetary perspective, but you're never going to get true innovation that way. You're never going to get lasting legacy that way. because every time somebody buys something, they fuck it up. Little simple things that you didn't have to do anything. All you had to do was put your label on it and leave it alone. Nope. We're going to fuck with it now and ruin it. Like Beats, John, they didn't have to do anything to it. They could have just left it alone.
Right. Well, yeah, so Apple bought it. That's when it went to garbage.
Yeah. But I'm saying when Apple bought them, they could have just left it the way they didn't have to do anything except just run with it. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. They bought it for $1 billion or something yeah. insane when Apple bought it from them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they bought it so that they could make money on their product.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure. Cause those stupid Apple AirPod things.
Well, yeah, you buy your competitor's database of customers and then you discontinue and fuck up their product. So they have to then you don't really lose them. They just migrate over to your offering. That's the strategy anyway. I just don't know if that works with headphones.
Well,
cause AirPods are ass. They're ass.
I end up wearing the big Princess Leia kind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those work.
Well, they also do what John said. They keep people from talking to you because it's really obvious.
That's an airplane headset right there. Yeah.
They also like when you're doing shit that's loud, like running a lawnmower or something, like you can actually still hear.
Yeah. They do have the problem, though, if you're working in the homestead of falling off.
What I've also done, like when you're on a tractor or something, you want to be able to hear it, you have the earbuds in, you take a pair of safety earphones, like for the range, and you put them over top. And then you actually have true noise canceling at that point.
I'll just turn my headphones on noise canceling with nothing on the airplane so I can get rid of the sound.
Oh, that hiss that goes forever.
It was a different sound that cancels out the yeah. I came on this show just to do that moment. That was it.
So like you're pretend talking to an astronaut over.
What? I can't hear you. We're losing the call. Yeah. Yeah, Anchor Q30 noise canceling.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're good. I'm an Anchor fan. That's why it's sad for me to see the direction this is going. It hasn't happened yet, but I can just... Like, when I walked into Costco and they had, like, a wall of Anchor shit, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Well, I think we're ready to wrap.
Yeah, I think so.
Judging by the looks on your faces. Well, I'm going to wrap up first because I always wrap up last, and I'll let you guys figure out the rest. So I'm Nicole Soss from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast and Hollow Roast Coffee. Of course, it is gift coffee season. We have sample packs. We have all of these available at hollowroast.com. Don't forget, it is Giving Tuesday. But also, it's the end of the year, and people are thinking about resolutions for next year. And if your resolution is to get healthier, either mentally or physically, don't wait till next year. I went back to CrossFit yesterday. You can do that too. It's December. It's actually a better time to go back to the gym right now because people aren't there. And you can get through all the pain of the first month back before all the people are there who are only there for 2 weeks. So it's time to invest in yourself if you haven't already. If you want to follow my podcast, go to livingfreeintennessee.com. And of course, Hollow Roast is hollowroast.com.
John?
SOETacticalGear.com is the website. I do a live every night around 9 o'clock from this YouTube channel. You can check it out. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Same name.
I am Jack Spierko. The website is thesurvivalpodcast.com. Come check us out. We've been running the show for 17 years. I think today's episode is like 3,769 or something like that. We're closing in on 4,000 episodes. So if there's anything in the world of entrepreneurship, lifestyle design, permaculture, homesteading, survival, preparedness, solar, you name it, we've covered it. Use the search box and you can find what you're looking
for. All right, guys. We'll see you next month.
See you guys. Thanks.
They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way. revolution.